each and every one of you and hear the sweet fellowship. You sound like birds in the morning waking up, and that's a sweet, sweet sound. It is good to be back. The Solomon Foundation Pastor Elder Retreat was fantastic for so many different reasons. One, they held it in Hawaii, and it was great being there. They had some fantastic speakers with some very timely and insightful information. It was good to spend that week with Duke and Kathy Gray and to get to do life in a different way, just being around each other most every day and spending time and talking and walking and hiking. While we were on the beach and looking at the beautiful waters, I was always looking for John Gooch to pull up in a submarine and get out. You know, he's a Navy man. Those days are over, he says. But I thank John for wrapping up the series I Can Only Imagine, and I know that he did a good job. I've got to listen to part of it. The signal wasn't so great, so it was in and it was out. But thank you, as always, to my good brother and elder, John Gooch. But this series, A Quiet Place, is designed to say to us all that we do need a quiet place so that we can hear from God. And I want to develop that over the next 4 weeks. And then in June, I want to sort of just take a chair and spend 4 weeks sitting down and having a family meeting over 4 weeks to really talk about church, our mission, our purpose, our commitment, our accountability, and just to spend that time together. Life, we all can admit, is crazy and hectic and tense. One would say, going to Hawaii, there's nothing tense about that. Well, during the COVID, there is, because you have to get a rapid COVID test, but you have to get it 72 hours before you actually land in Hawaii. And if you go get the test 2 or 3 days before and you get a false positive, then you got to zip back in and try to do another test and hope you get a negative. So you don't know that you're really going until they email you that you're going. You tested negative. But then you spend a great deal of time going on different websites and uploading all this information and getting a QR code. And then it's to get to the airport and then get to your flights and get there on time and land in Hawaii, where you get another COVID test that you did not expect that you were going to get. And you hope that you don't test positive, because they come and take you away to their facility and quarantine you for 10 days. So even when you're there, you're not answering that phone just in case. One couple out of the 281 couples at the retreat, the husband tested positive. And so he is being quarantined in his hotel room for 10 days, and his wife, 7, she tested negative. A lot of stuff going on in people's life, you know, just trying to get to a place and then the things that happen when you get there. So Monday, after we arrive Sunday afternoon, we're hitting the beach, just walking around, and Duke goes down to the end of the beach in the big 4 or 5 foot beautiful waves, and I'm not with Duke, he's by himself, and he goes out into the water. And he sees this big wave coming, and he's going to body surf it. Now, he don't have the boogie board. He's just going to body surf it. And about the time the wave starts to lift Duke up, he remembers, oh, I have my glasses on. I better grab them. But it's too late, and he loses his glasses. But then he says, you know, my God moment was right before I left, I grabbed one pair of contacts. And then we took a long hike, just Duke and I, a long 3-hour hike up and down, only traveling 4 miles, to go to this beautiful spot. And Duke went under the water, and it's salt water, and he ended up losing his contact. People have a lot of stuff going on in their lives, and I'm going to spend a little time and just sort of let this sizzle here with people have a lot going on in their lives. Well, you know, God is a triune God, amen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And how many days did Jesus resurrect on? The third day. Well, Kathy Gray is praying, Lord, let Duke's glasses turn up. Duke is taking the man perspective and not having the faith that she had and is doubting, but they're walking down to the end of that beach every day, every day. 3 days later, on Thursday, Duke and Kathy take their walk, praying for the glasses. Duke just sort of doubting but hopeful. And he walks up to a rock, and his glasses, just like in a store, are setting on the rock. And he picks them up and says, these are my glasses. And there's a guy who said, yeah, I just found those, and I set them up. And Duke says, they're mine. Doreen, that was a God moment. Now, here's the thing. It's hilarious. Duke's glasses were not scratched up, not harmed in any way, was in the ocean for at least 3 days, and they were cleaner than when he bought them brand new. People have a lot of stuff going on in their life. I got a wallet story, and I'll just be brief and not give all the details. But you know, it's hard to go to the DMV right now unless you schedule an appointment to get a driver's license. I brought some industrial fans to the church a few weeks ago, dropped them off to Dave, went and did a swim at the pool, went to Sam's Club and did some shopping for Dee, and then went to Myers and get some things that we didn't get from Sam's and came home, tossed my wallet on the desk like I always do. Went outside and worked a little bit, but it was time to get ready for Bill MacArthur's funeral service. Cleaned up, went to grab my wallet, couldn't find it. Looked everywhere. My wife said, well, did you throw it in a Myers bag and maybe carry it in? So I dug through nasty trash. Couldn't find my wallet, looked in my jacket, looked in my bag, looked in my workout bag, walked around the house praying, Lord, you know, remind me, did I put it somewhere that I normally don't put it? Help me. People, we've got a lot going on in our lives. And you talk about stress and tension, so make the calls. Put the cards, you know, on hold. And then where did I put my wallet? But I've got to go to the funeral. And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to not worry about it. I'm just going to go and be there to support Bobby and John and the family, and I'm not going to worry about it. But it's all I was thinking about. How am I going to get my driver's license? This trip's coming up. It could take forever, and one thing led to the other. Went back home after the service and started the whole thing all over again, looking. And I sat down in this old brown, like, lazy boy chair that my wife's tried to get me to throw away for years because it's broke. You sit in it, the footrest just pops up. And the way you get out of this chair is in one fluid movement. You lean forward and you sort of hop up and kick the footrest, and it stays when there's no butt pressure in the seat. So I finally kick back in that chair. And I'm like, I pass out, I go into a deep sleep from stress over this wallet. And I finally wake up, 15 minutes, power nap, and I say, Lord, I mean, I'm at the end of my rope. Lord, if you don't help me find my wallet, I'm never going to find it. I have to start all over. And I went to do that one fluid movement to hop up out of my chair and kick the footrest back in. But this time, I sort of stumbled forward about a step and a half with my head down like this. And there, at the end of my desk, there was my wallet behind a plant stand. I'd thrown it, it slipped off and dropped, and there was my wallet. People go through a lot of stuff. And this is just ordinary stuff. Lose your keys, car won't start, you forgot where you parked it, you don't know what elevator you got out of. All the silly stuff is so stressful and tense. Now just bear with me, because I'm sitting at a table with Duke and Kathy and my wife, and there's this African-American pastor and his wife from Atlanta. And we're taking a small break within the conference just to pray to God about whatever's going on. And they happen to mention their 13-year-old daughter that is struggling, and they're having some difficult times with their daughter. And so we all start taking turns and just praying for each other, and especially their daughter. And you look up, and this pastor's wife is just crying. I mean, it's not just basic stuff. They've got some real stuff going on, as you can see in the response. But by the time that prayer was over, and people we really didn't know, you would have thought that we had known each other forever because of the oneness that is in Christ. What a blessing, but a lot going on in people's life. I'm standing in the Denver airport at the Chick-fil-A line, which is long there too. And I just say hi to this kid, and he starts just like talking. Yes, sir, asking this, asking that. I'm talking to him. He said, yeah, I graduated from Belmont University. I said, well, I went to Lipscomb University. We were rivals, your school, our school, when it came to basketball and soccer. He said, yeah. He said, I'm 24 years old, and he coaches in Hawaii. But he'd come back to sell his mom and dad's house. Now, this is a 24-year-old young man. Just a really respectful, nice young man. His mom had died of liver disease. And then not too far after that, his father had died from heart disease. And he was back in Denver with his brother to sell the parents' home. People have a lot of stuff going on in their life. And we'd made such a good connection, he took down Kentwood Christian Church Facebook, and he's going to be joining us today, he said. And, you know, not live, because it's 4:45 where he's at. And I thought, well, I'm going to buy his food and really try to build that relationship as short of time as we had. And about that time, my wife come running up to me and said, they're loading the plane and you're going to miss it. And so we took off running through the airport, and I just said bye, and the end of that. What stuff do you have going on in your life? Because a lot of stuff and a lot of stress and a lot of tension can do a lot of things to people's minds and hearts and even their physical elements in their lives. And we need a quiet place. I want to show a text from Mark chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, just to be the springboard each week in this month to use to say, Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit and have the power of God and are doing ministry for the Lord need a quiet place to recharge. And then I want to look at that from a story of Jesus in Matthew as he teaches. Look at this with me right here. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. This is the disciples. They've been out as commissioned by Jesus, doing ministry. They are all now gathered together, but because so many people were coming and going, just in and out of their lives, you can read and feel the chaos and the hecticness of it, that they didn't have a chance to eat. Now, you and I know life can get busy, but normally we don't miss a meal. We make that a priority. But here the disciples were, and life was so hectic and so busy, doing ministry with people coming in and out with many different things going on, that they didn't even have a chance to eat. Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place." Now that's our Lord talking to his disciples, saying to them, you need a quiet place. And I'm going to take you to that quiet place so that you can get some rest, so that you can refresh, so that you can recharge. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. The point is, Jesus recognized that his disciples needed a quiet place to rest and recharge and refocus. And in our lives, we need the same. We allow ourselves to get so busy with so many things, and they can be good things, that we don't take care of our souls to be renewed and refreshed. And I would say that as you see in this passage of Scripture, resting and recharging involves the presence of Jesus. Not more church, not more Bible study, not more memory verse, not more service, just a quiet place to shut down, stop, a place that may even be planned. We do need to plan times to get away and just stop and be with Jesus. Jesus really is the quiet place that we all need. And it's out of their busy lives of going and being commissioned by Jesus to serve the people and advance the kingdom with the teaching of God that you have the beheading of John the Baptist. Jesus had a lot going on in his life. The disciples have a lot going on in their lives. I've got a lot going on in my life, and you've got a lot going on in your life. My brothers and sisters, are you taking time with Jesus to take care of yourself? Are you stopping? Are you recharging with the Lord? Are you refreshing yourself with the Lord? Are you spending time in a quiet place? Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, uses the same words, but this time it's addressed to the masses. Jesus said in Mark, "Come with me." Now we see Jesus say, "Come to me." So I want to stop here and say, here Jesus, early in his ministry, before the feeding of the 5,000, talk about a chaotic picture, a lot of people, says to the masses, "Come to me." It's a beautiful invitation. It's an invitation to all. And it is an invitation to come to him. But then you see this wording, "all you who are weary and burdened. Some translations will use heavy laden. Well, this word weary is directly tied to toil and work. These people are evidently working hard, going hard. And he says to the masses, come to me. If you find yourself tired, if you find yourself exhausted, if you find yourself overwhelmed, come to me. And really and truly, that is the answer for us all throughout all of life, is to come to Jesus, to constantly and continually commune with Jesus by drawing closer to him. Come to me if you're weary. This COVID-19 since March, middle of March of last year, that has been brutal on people. Emotionally and mentally brutal. One of the doctors of clinical psychology, his name was Wes Beavis, that was at this retreat, said in California where he lives, and he was talking to ministers, so those were the surveys he was given. But within the last month, or maybe two, five ministers had committed suicide. And then he gave a survey just on the number of young teens because of COVID that have been isolated and separated from contact and personal involvement in each other's lives, just had skyrocketed in terms of suicide. People have a lot of things going on in their lives. And COVID-19 and churches not gathering or being able to gather, or people isolating themselves out of precaution, maybe even fear, has in many ways had such a negative effect in our lives. But this idea of weary, just tired from the work, then we see the word burdened. And this word is directly tied to the idea of being weighted down. Being weighted down, like carrying a heavy load. We were in breakout sessions, and our region, which covers Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, the ministers got together with our rep from the Solomon Foundation, Randy Wheeler, and we were in there, and everybody was sharing. Randy was asking questions, and there was this one minister from Illinois, a really nice guy, but you could tell he was just so frustrated with his people. He didn't mean what he said, but what he said caused everybody to gasp. He said, my people aren't coming back to church. And you could tell he was frustrated in saying it. And he says, they are sending in their money for their tithe, so I guess I shouldn't really care if they come back or not. Now, he didn't mean that, although he said that. Because any minister, pastor, that loves the Lord and loves the church would much rather have the person than the money. But he's frustrated and taking it as an indictment, I guess, against himself. The people won't come back. Why won't they come back to church? And he's frustrated. He's got a lot going on in his life, too. He's burdened. He's carrying a heavy load. We all, at times, carry heavy loads that are a burden, and they make us tired and weary. And the fact of the matter is, you can be one of those people that have not come to Jesus, and you experience this for sure. And you can be a Christian who has come to Jesus, and you can still experience this. Amen. You can still experience it from time to time, at least, because of everything that's going on in people's lives. Job problems, money problems, car problems, relationship problems, addiction problems. It just goes on and on and on. Jesus invites people who are tired to come to Him. These people are exhausted because they have been working really hard. They are also exhausted because they have been doing things, as you see behind me, on their own and in their own strength, right? Come to me. You've been isolated. You have been alone. You've been doing life by yourself, and I am offering through my invitation, come to me. There is an answer that will change your life. Will change your life. It isn't a Band-Aid. It is the answer and the cure for your life and for your soul. People are tired from having the wrong priorities in their lives and doing the wrong things. That's for granted. If you have wrong priorities, if you do wrong things, they come back because it's sin very often, and it just weighs on you and is futile and empty. At some point, it catches up with you. But some people are tired having the right priorities and doing the right things. They just need to stop and rest. Tired from the daily grind. Tired physically. Tired mentally. Tired emotionally. I get that way all the time. There are times when my brain feels like a terry cloth. I just can't absorb anymore. It's numb. Don't ask me where to go eat. Don't ask me to make a decision. My brain feels warm and muddled. I just have to stop. And I'm no different than any of you. We all get that way. But he goes on and says this, "And I will give you rest." This word rest is the idea of you come to me and I'm going to refresh you and I'm going to restore you and I'm going to renew you and I'm going to slow you down. I'm going to set you down and I'm going to stop. Now, the quiet place is always involving Jesus. But the quiet place doesn't have to be a specific location. We may all have that place that we want to go to and just let nature speak to us. Some people, the quiet place is on a golf course. Others, it's out in the garden or working with flowers or riding a motorcycle or whatever it may be. But you, with your Jesus, need to get into that quiet place with Him because He promises if you come to Him, even though you're weary, exhausted, and burdened, you're going to find through Him rest for your soul. So we left Kona, Hawaii, like at 8 p.m. Hawaiian time, which is, we're 6 hours ahead. Got on a plane and started to fly to Denver. And, you know, the six-hour time difference, you don't know what time it is. You don't even care. You just know you feel tired. You can't rest. You know, those airplanes, they got you so cramped up and crammed in. You know, here's how you lean back in an airplane seat. That's it. I was sitting on the aisle, and this woman kept getting up to have to use the bathroom. About every time I'd sort of doze off, I'd get in the aisle, I got to use the bathroom. And even though it was my wife, it was a pain. Like, you're not taking any water, coffee, or Coke the rest of the trip. Jesus promises rest, relief, and refreshment. Standing on the beach in the morning with the waves, the beautiful waves and the beautiful waters of Hawaii, and the birds singing, the beautiful flowers everywhere. I mean, it's like a picture, knowing that breakfast is coming. You just felt rest and refreshed and renewed. But the Lord was with you the whole time. Jesus does not promise rest from work. Because the next verse he's going to say, take up my yoke, right? Take up my yoke. So we get breaks from work, yes. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you can do life. And as much as life is going to throw at you, if I'm with you, you're going to be okay. If I'm with you, your body may be worn out, but you will sleep the sleep of the just. We got home, pulled into the house. Dee went to bed like at 8 p.m. I'm thinking, boy, she's going to bed early. It's only, 2 o'clock in Hawaii time, and I'm like, well, I can't sleep. She goes to bed at 8 p.m. I open the door around 8:15 a.m., and she's in deep sleep. It's like, that's 12 hours. She never sleeps that much. Your body can be exhausted, but your spirit and your soul have been refreshed and renewed and regenerated by the Lord. That's why a Christian who has come to Jesus and focuses on Jesus and communes continually with Jesus the best they can and allows the Holy Spirit to operate in which the way the Holy Spirit operates. Are there times we get discouraged? Yes. Are there times we get depressed? Absolutely. But He restores and renews and refreshes our souls, and we're ready to go on, and we are not weighed down. Suicide is not even our thoughts when we are in the right place, the quiet place with the Lord God Almighty, when we are still before Him knowing that He is God. I'm going to ask, Tanner Mullen, could you come on the stage? And Josh Archer. Now I'm going to have to step away from the mic, because we're going to talk about this next verse. Take my yoke upon you. Give me like 5 seconds.
Oh no. We're doing this. Yep.
Did you put that on? Just come on. No, not you.
Okay.
Just right. You. You've got to take this hand and hold it.
Right.
Sort of heavy, isn't it?
It's not the most comfortable thing.
We could tighten it up if you needed to. This is a oxen yoke, a cattle yoke. Something that you put on cattle or oxen to pull a wagon or a plow. And it may be not heavy at first. But if I'd have started him out in the sermon by now, it'd have been tipped sideways and his arms would be tired. But here is just an old antique yoke that I had given to me by a good friend that we all know, Jamie and Peggy Matheny. Come on in. He said it's much better. And I just use this as an illustration. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus is saying, there is a work and there is a burden. And there is a yoke. And that yoke is a way of looking at Scripture and living it out in our lives and understanding the truth of what God has asked us to be and to do. Take my yoke upon you. Come on up here. Now, the point of a yoke is to lighten the burden. Someone says, what's that? Instead of one ox, you join them together, and there's two ox, and it lightens the burden. But here, Tanner is the example of us. And if Josh steps back out of it, and he's going to be the example of Jesus, then Tanner's all alone. And that burden gets heavy, wearisome, and burdensome. But Jesus says, you know, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest, but you're going to have to take your yoke upon me. And who wants to argue against being yoked to Jesus? See, we have that in Paul's description of a yoke. Don't be unequally yoked in your marital relationship, right? Because if you are, you've got one person pulling this way and another pulling that way, and it's a battle, and the yoke, instead of lightening the burden, makes the burden more difficult, especially in marriage. But it's true that if we're pulling against Jesus, it makes it difficult in our life. And so Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, get in alignment with me. And most of the time, you have an older animal with a younger animal, or a mature animal with a more immature animal, because the older animal has learned from an older animal, and you learn how to pull, and whenever the young one gets sort of sideways or wants to go wrong, the other one takes it along. So Jesus is saying to us, if you put my yoke upon yourself as you come to me, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to guide you, you're going to be in partner with me, we're going to commune together, we're going to spend our days together, we're going to do life together, and your burden is going to be light because I'm here to carry it with you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But most Christians haven't really thought about the reality that Jesus, in our relationship, wants to be yoked with us. We just try to carry the burden all on our own, and that is disastrous. That leads to hopelessness. So to carry the yoke of Jesus is to share and partner with him in his work and ministry. We share that with him. It's focused. We know what it is. We've committed ourselves to it. We've partnered with him. Jesus wants to teach, train, and equip, and he wants to guide us, and he will, even when we try to get off track. He'll pull us back in to that narrow row in which we are to plow. It's a continuing relationship with Jesus. How many of you here today have the yoke and you're carrying it alone? How many are carrying the burden alone? Too many. Too many. It says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Whenever you are yoked to Jesus Christ and are being guided, equipped, trained, and taught in communion and continual fellowship with Him, then transformation by being in His presence and with Him takes place in your life, and you become gentle and humble in heart. Someone who's not humble in heart is not yoked to Jesus. Someone who is not gentle is not yoked to Jesus. Someone says, "Well, that's just my personality." No, if you are not humble and if you are not gentle, it is because you are not yoked to Jesus. Or if you are, you're pulling against Him. Time with Jesus makes us humble and gentle and peaceful Christian people. It's a transforming relationship, and He goes straight to the soul. Doesn't talk about the body. Doesn't talk about the mind. He says, "Your spirit, your very soul, will find rest. Will find rest if you come to Me in this way." The retreat, the sights with Jesus was so refreshing. There were quiet places that were so renewing. For me, for my wife, I know Duke and Kathy. But that time's over now. And it's time to get pulling again. And I'm ready to pull. So come to Jesus. Take up His yoke. Learn from Him. Follow Him. And let Him give rest for your souls. And spend your life pulling with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us all to find a quiet place, a place with You, a place of rest, a solitary place where we can hear from You and walk from You and experience all Your spiritual blessings. Help us not to go through life carrying these burdens on our own. Lord, help us as Christians to give them to You, whether it's someone that we lost that we love. Don't let us carry that burden on our own. Let us carry it with You, because You will be the salve for the wound of the person that we've lost. Father, whatever it is, I pray that people will leave here today and they will hear You saying to them, whether they're an unbeliever or whether they're a devout Christian, "Come to Me, come to Me, come to Me." Oh, God Almighty, through Your Holy Spirit, give us the power to pull and pull hard with the Lord God Almighty in the kingdom work You've given us to be about. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church says, amen.